Hey, welcome to the Happy Rant Podcast. I am Ted Kluck, joined, as always, in studio by my good friends, my partners in radio, Barnabas Piper and Ron Martin. Boys, we're all back together again. Sorry for my, insubordination last week, my inability to make it to the program. I feel like I let the show down. You boys soldiered on without me. And what was that like? Was it strange?
It was a bit aimless, I would say. Yeah. Your professional hosting is always greatly appreciated. Ron and I are good at some things, and probably less good at that thing.
Well, boys, you know I take this seriously. When I'm not on the show, I'm in the film room, you know, grinding tape, doing the work, putting the hours in. So
it felt a little bit like one of those training camp contract disputes where, like, one of the star players gets special treatment and then the other star player feels left out. Like,
yeah,
Ronnie gets to go on a 2-week road trip, and then Ted was feeling a little
okay. I'm leaving camp
slighted.
For a couple days. Yeah.
So you just
a little holdout.
You just skipped camp for a day, and there's going to come out pictures of you on like a boat with a Mai Tai later or something. Not to get ahead of ourselves and talk about Jerry Falwell or anything, but
that's a good Vikings reference, though. A little, I was thinking more Vikings vintage.
That was a different
party boat.
The Vikings boat and the Jerry Falwell boat, very different than anything you would ever do on a boat.
Although I feel like it's very similar to what both of those parties could do on a boat.
I think they would get along great.
Yeah, I think they would. I could see that happening. But boys, we're getting ahead of ourselves because we're the kind of guys who now, again, have a podcast that's sponsored, that's doing business, that's generating income. That's the kind of guy I want to be always. And I'm very excited about that. So as I sip my cup of Redbud City Coffee Roasters coffee, Piper, why don't you tell us about our new old sponsor?
It is a new old sponsor. We did like a renewal of the vows with Dwell
yes,
Bible
dude.
App. So, you know, we worked with them in a faithful relationship for a long time, and then there was a parting of the ways that was more just a drifting apart than it was a true parting of the ways.
Like a little separation, you know? We tried it out.
And not really over any particular conflict, just sort of like, hey, I think I need some time.
Yeah.
And then we mutually agreed that the best thing for us was to get back together, so we're back with Dwell. Mm-hmm. And so for listeners who haven't been with us for long, Dwell is an audio Bible app that has anything you would want in an audio Bible app. So different readers, different plans, there's musical backgrounds, there's all sorts of features to help you study or memorize or just listen your way through scripture. It's a great way to get scripture into your life when it's hard to make time to sit down and read, or on top of your reading, you know, car commutes, going for a run, whatever it is. So if you go to dwellapp.io/happyrant, you can get a 20% discount off there. Annual subscription. It's less than $3 a month. Maybe it's less than $2 a month. I can't remember. It's cheap one way or the other. So 20% discount, dwellapp.io/happyrant. Check that out. And I think they may even have a free trial so that you can check it out for a few days before you decide to pull the trigger on it. But you will end up deciding to because it's pretty awesome.
Boys, we're better with Dwell Bible. You know, we drifted apart. We took some time to find ourselves, and I think we realized that we're better together than we are apart. They make me better. They actually do make me better. Like, all kidding aside, I use Dwell Bible a lot during the pan. Shout out the pandemic. Back when the emotions were all over the map. So,
speaking of things that we would love to have a separation from,
which we probably will in a couple of months. I'm no genius, but maybe that's coming.
Let's hope.
Yeah, let's hope for sure. But boys, speaking of the pandemic and things that are bad, we're going to take a look at some stories, just some things that have happened over the past few weeks, things that are kind of so bad they're good, from a content standpoint. This feels themey. This almost feels like a theme episode, like the kind we used to have back when Trogues was on board, when he was a part of the program. But we have some news items, and Pipe, I want to just get the ball rolling with this thing that you sent to us that Ronald and I are a little incredulous about. You sent us a release, some copy, some marketing copy about a product, a Gen Z Bible, devotional that a company put out that's a major Christian publisher and book distributor, and Ronald and I don't think this is real. So I want you to read some of this copy, some of the marketing copy that you read us off the air, and we're going to parse whether or not this is a real thing or whether this is satire.
Yes, it's a really valid conversation. You guys have me doubting myself, and it's possible that I have had the wool pulled over my eyes because I have inside sources at Lifeway. Having worked there for six years, I still have my connections there. And
I thought we might get away with not saying the name of the company because they maybe own my university at this point. I don't know.
You know, but that's all right. They don't own your university. If anything, they're owning less and less these days. These inside sources of mine were distraught that this thing existed. I'll just say that. And I'll just, you know, no names.
Yeah.
If they want to go on a witch hunt, they can come ask me for names. They can waterboard me. I'm not giving anything up. So Lifeway, earlier this summer released something called, I don't know exactly what it's called. It's a Gen Z devotional. So a Bible study for Gen Z. And for those of you who can't keep the generation straight, Gen X is what Ronnie and Ted are. Millennial is what I am, just barely. I'm almost Gen X. That's
just
like
a youngster, Piper. Just a young
it's pop. Basically 25 to late 30s is millennial. So then like high school up through 25 is Gen Z. So think teenager, college student, etc.
Sure.
This was very clearly, if this thing was real, a Bible study written by old white men for young white men, except the old white men were attempting to imitate young black men. So let me give you an example. This is how they interpreted John 1:1. So John 1:1 in the standard Bible language that we're familiar with was, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning."
Pretty straightforward.
Yep.
Yeah.
So here we go. This is the Gen Z one. "Since day uno, there was Cap G. Big J was chilling with Cap G, and Big J was Cap G." That is, I think, clearly that's how the Apostle John would have written it, should he have been writing for 16-year-old white males today, obviously. So then here's the explanation, except they don't call it an explanation or devotional. They say, here's the T. Life started with God's word, but the Bible isn't boring or outdated. Life still starts with God's word. Like, this part actually sounds sort of like normal English.
Yeah.
And then he talks about transformation. And then there's something called Sunday cool, which
there isn't actually, there can't be.
So are you saying
us dying a little bit?
I can't decide if this is a visceral reaction or like you're just saying, no, this is all a farce. This isn't real.
It's kind of what I hope. It's kind of what I felt as I've woken up in the morning for the last 6 months. This can't be real.
When you say woken up, is that, are you sort of alluring to,
oh, Ronald,
being woke? Dude,
I see what you're doing there.
Woke
I see
slash ENUP.
Gosh, that's good radio.
Radio. I think we need to get some clarity, buddy, because I don't know if I can be on the same program as a dude that believes in critical race theory.
That's exactly what I heard Ted say. He said he's woken up every day,
that
and
is
then 100%
what Ted just said. I believe in critical race theory. 100%.
Judas H. Priest,
hard carrying Black Lives Matter organization member, probably a socialist. That's what I heard.
You know,
I cannot continue with him. I don't even know if I want to talk to him now.
You know me here in my drab olive garments. You know,
well, your Che Guevara T-shirt is giving you away right now. So
my Che Guevara T-shirt from the leftover from the early 2000s emergent church movement. I just dusted it off.
We're back.
Urban Outfitters is still a thing. Apparently,
critical race theory is so dated, you guys.
Well, I wish I could talk to the guys at Sunday Cool about this. I'm sure they'd have really insightful thoughts in language I could understand.
Critical race theory is rad. It's not boring at all.
Here's the T on critical race theory. So Sunday Cool is apparently a t-shirt screening printing company, but that they try to turn Bible things cool because that's how the Bible works best. And,
always better when it's cool. Everything's better when it's cool, boys.
Yeah.
Let's just state that for the rec.
And the t-shirt industry has a rich tradition of pulling that off, you know. They've really done this well over the generations.
Especially the religious t-shirt company.
That's what I mean. The Christian t-shirt industry has really got a good track record in this.
Yeah, let's not forget the infamous "This Blood's for You."
Absolutely, Ronald.
That literally tens of dozens of youth group kids wore in the late 90s.
Oh, I mean, the Lord's Gym ones, "Jesus is My Homeboy."
I think we've covered this, but it's still worth noting,
but,
right?
But
yeah.
Since we're on the subject, it's so
I love the thought process here from a big publishing house. Like, hey, you know what? These guys have done a great job with t-shirts. Like, let's get them to write a devotional series. That's got to be the most, like, the biggest leap in the history of book deals. You know what I mean? Because, I mean, the publishing industry does some pretty stupid things on the level of, like...
I mean...
I don't know. Where does this rank in the pantheon of stupid book deals?
The whole theme of reality television is you're dumb and rich. Let's put a camera on you. So I feel like this is a kind of like, you know, you do dumb t-shirts. Let's let you...
It's the reality TV of book publishing? Is that what you're trying to say?
I mean, to be fair, I've ghostwritten a book or two for some pretty stupid people. But this, I mean, really, like
I've written a book as a stupid person. I'll one-up you on that.
Yeah, you one-upped me on my false humility.
As a stupid guy, I've written a book.
Yeah. Yes.
I haven't done either of those things. I think I two-upped both of you. So
that's true.
I neither have written a book as a stupid person nor written them for stupid people.
You out-smugged us.
Yeah.
That's what you did.
I feel like a white reformed guy now. So
you are, man. Well, your last name is Piper.
So, yes, then there's a Sunday's Cool video. It's incredibly popular, the Sunday's Cool video. There's more than 2 million views.
Ironic views, I'm sure.
Yeah. All right. And then, you know, Lifeway ended up pulling the product and putting out a statement, which was sort of an apology, but also a, like, we didn't mean to do anything offensive. That's right. That's just,
Eugene Peterson is rolling in his grave right now. He's like, is this what I was trying to accomplish when I released the message? To release
maybe Eugene Peterson was on this. Maybe this was one of his last projects.
This is like the woke version of the message, boys. That's what this is. This is like.
See, the funny thing is, Eugene Peterson was an old white guy who was putting the Bible into plain language, and it sounded a lot like English for adults,
as opposed to whatever this is. EP was twice as woke as like Ted will ever be, Pipe.
Dude, can we talk about Ronald throwing the word woke around like there's no consequences? This guy, man, he's playing fast and loose, Piper.
Oh, I love it, man. I've sort of taken all I can take and I can't take no more.
Baby, have you forgotten how middle-aged and white you are?
I mean, I'm reminded that given how often I look in the mirror during the day, which is a lot. So, no, I know. I get it.
I'm starting with the man in the mirror, Ronald. Let's start there, okay?
Thanks for that. I appreciate that counsel.
So, just a little wisdom.
I need some counsel. That was good counsel. I'm going to roll with that. I'm going to run with
baby,
that.
Baby, get on the Chase Lounge. Swipe your insurance card. Let me get you again.
Man, I feel like I've done my work for the day, Big T. Thank you.
Well, there you go, man. Let's knock off for the rest of the day. Call it a day.
So,
Piper,
have we determined if this thing is real or not?
I want a copy. I'm not going to be convinced.
Well, they pulled it. It doesn't. You can't even find it on their website. You can go
hold
to the
on.
Link
Let me look
then,
on Amazon right now. What's it called again, Pipe?
I don't know.
It's called. I'm looking at the picture. It's called the word according to Gen Z, a 30-day Devo challenge.
I'm on it right now. Obviously, Amazon, that little website that we talk about occasionally, has a few copies left. I got it, man. I can get the Kindle edition literally instantaneously.
How much is it going to cost you?
It's going to cost me $5.49. And by the way, the cover of it might be one of the worst things I've ever.
Isn't that kind of faux leather? Like
No, dude. Oh. It's a picture of like five Gen Zers holding like iPads. If any of them are wearing bell bottoms, it could be straight out of 79, right? And it just says the Bible according to Gen. It's really bad.
I love it, dude.
That's not the same one.
What?
I'm fairly certain. No, that was published in 2013. It's the one under. It's the word according to Gen Z.
Oh, the
for
word.
By Sunday Cool. It is the one with the faux leather and the fake gold kind of leaf embossing.
Like, do you guys like how I just dadded that up like that? I still can't find it, man.
Look up the word according to Gen Z, or you could just search Sunday Cool. I bet that stuff is on here. you can't find any editions. There's not a digital one or a print one. It just is listed.
You just got to go.
Dude, Lifeway just eradicated this from the face of the earth.
Yep.
Yeah. That's
but
awesome,
it's the one. So yeah, this is the one that has like the, it's supposed to look like a, you know, an old leather bound book, because nothing says fake Ebonics inside a book that no Gen Zer would ever pick up.
All right. So here's my thought, man.
We've really nailed the packaging on this one.
Yeah.
Yeah, they nailed it. Big T, here's my quest for you, big guy.
Lay it on, maybe.
Why don't you go to John 1-1 and tell us how a Gen X version of that could read. That's what I really want to hear. And then we'll go to Pipe, who's sort of a millennial.
Yeah.
Only because he talks about it so much. And we'll have him do the millennial version, man. You know?
Wow. Are we really doing this?
How would a Gen X read John 1-1? I mean, it's going to be a little cynical and snarky. We're going to take away some of the formality of probably the wording. but it's going to, I don't know. I'm just asking the question. I don't know. I'm not.
Yeah. I'm looking at it right now, Ron. And I'm trying to do the translation in my mind because I want it to be good. Also, is this the most blasphemous thing ever? The thing that we're doing right now? Like, is this okay? You're a man of the cloth.
It's okay because we're satirically undermining somebody else's blasphemy. And that's kind of what we do anyway, right? We satirically undermine other people's dumbness.
Yeah. I mean, including our own. Yes, of course.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Especially our own.
Baby, you're Gen X like me. How would you interpret this? What would your translation like?
You talking to me?
Yeah, I'm talking to you.
Dude, I'm just so bad at that kind of stuff, man. I think
have to throw in an or whatever somewhere.
Yeah, like Gen X basically reads John 1-1 and finds a reason why it's not... finds a reason why they're still not getting what they deserve in life, you know, after reading something like
that's true, and that's a passage exactly
of that like magnitude.
It'd be like, in the beginning was the word or whatever, the word was with God, whoever that is, and the word,
yeah, the word was
God,
with God, and the word was God, but like, where's my word? Like,
and what's am I gonna problem?
When am I going to get? Deal? When am I going to get like my opportunity to speak the words that the boomer gen is still keeping and holding back from me? Like, when do I get my time to shine? Like, I appreciate what God's doing with His word and that He's giving it to us. But like,
where's my main stage deal?
Where do I, like, when do I get to shine? Like, I'm not trying to not give glory to God, but like, hey, John got to write that. When do I get to write my John 1-1? Here's the Gen X version of it.
Oh, boys.
And I feel like the millennial version would just be a question. It's like, in the beginning, wait, there was a beginning? Like, how do we know? Whose truth is that?
Wait, the vulnerability word with, voice, John 1-1?
The word was with your God. I mean, it's probably your God because it's not my God. Somebody's God. The word was with a God, a deity, a spiritual being, an entity. And then the word, which word? Like, is this all the words? What words are we talking about here? Was... That same spiritual entity, being, deity, whatever you want to call it, whatever you're comfortable with. I think that would be sort of the millennial version of John 1-1.
Nice. Well, it hits hard that way.
You know, yeah. I mean, I feel super convicted by it, and there's a lot of truth in it. My truth, not your
truth. Yeah, your truth. Exactly. Boys, what an interesting little bit. I had no idea this product existed for a short time before being pulled. Man, those writers, I wonder if they got paid. I wonder if the t-shirt guys got their full, payment for all that writing, all the work they put in. We'll never know, boys, but, onto other topics. There are knowable things still in the world. Jerry Falwell,
very overly knowable. We know way too
overly knowable. We know way too much now. I don't know. Some stuff happened with Jerry Falwell a couple of weeks ago. We were going to talk about it. I think we put it off, and we could talk about it now if you want, or we don't have to talk about it. It's totally up to you guys. But this guy was the president at Liberty. He's had a rough like 6 week run here. Not a great run.
I just want to make a comment on one aspect of the Jerry Falwell thing, and it's nothing that he did or didn't do, because that has been well covered and it's disgusting. I want to comment on the statement that the board of directors or whatever they're called at Liberty put out, where they said basically, there were no signs that any of this was going on until the last 2 weeks. And this was right after he had tendered his resignation. And they basically were like, we had no idea. And the only thing that crossed my mind was, my children used to think they were invisible when they closed their eyes. That feels a lot like them just putting their hands over their eyes and going, you can't see me. It's the most disingenuous, public, non-apology, cover your own keister statement that it doesn't even cover it because everybody knows it's full of crap. It was so bad, it was good, is what it was, to stick to the theme of this particular episode. I realized they couldn't come out and say, yeah, we've kind of known that there was shady stuff going on for the last 20 years or so, but we were making a lot of money. But so instead they swung the other way and were like, we didn't have any idea. None. This isn't even plausible deniability. It's just deniability.
Boys, does it make you think, like, so here's more of a serious, we can riff on this maybe for a second, because I like what you just said, Pipe. The ridiculousness of it. Because when you get a character like Falwell, who has said just patently like ridiculous things, whenever they break down and they have when they don't fall well, Jerry's doing his thing.
This is why our boy needs to be main staging, Pipe. If the world doesn't recognize it now, they never will.
Oh, it's gold.
Okay.
Boys, there's nothing but gold here.
Could have 35 minutes of that, baby.
Guys, I'm having a bad Yoda week. I think it's coming out on the pod right now, so just bear with.
Dave, you're having a tough Yoda week? What's going on?
Yeah, we'll talk about that later. But
we got some secular Yoda stuff coming up.
So this is my point, though. Like, my thing is, when we see Jerry do what Jerry's doing, like, none of it feels surprising, and there's a part of you that almost thinks... You almost have like this repressed memory of like, but this is what he's been doing for like 20 years. Like you almost start making up stuff in your head like, yeah, but he already did this stuff like 10 years ago, right? Because it feels so in line with his character and the things he said since, you know, he's been in the public eye that like, I don't know about you boys, but like it just feels like the least shocking thing of all time. And that says something about me and, you know, how I've been indoctrinated by all this craziness. But speak into that, because to me, it's like, if somebody were just to describe to me and I was off social media and they said, hey, oh, did you hear about Jerry Falwell? And I said, no, tell me what happened. And they said, oh, well, this, 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 and this. I'd just be like, dude, where are we having lunch today? You know what I mean?
Wednesday.
Anymore. Right, exact. So how do you feel about it from that angle? Because it just feels like, oh, this is almost not even news. It's so obvious. I don't know.
Ted, go ahead, thoughts? Pipe. Oh, me? All right. When the news came out that, you know, like, oh, Falwell's been caught in whatever scandal, I just was like, oh, I thought he already was. Like you said, I think we've gotten so accustomed to the public pattern of behavior by faux evangelical leaders who fall that when it happens, we're just like, you know, the signs were there all along, despite the statement that the board of whatever put out from Liberty. And so we just assumed this was all happening to some degree. Like, the details might differ, you know. It was on a boat or in the Bahamas or whatever instead of in a mountain chalet somewhere. But, it feels like the clue of falling. It's like evangelical leader Y with the pool boy and the mistress on the boat. In the tropics, you know,
it's like on point. It's like Knives Out, yeah, part two.
It all,
right?
It all matches up, and we've seen it so many times that I think the funniest, not funniest, but the kind of the most surprising aspect of this was the surprise of people. Like, oh, can you believe what this? You know what he did and said? Yes, of course I can. So can everybody, right? If you just paid attention. This is not surprising. And people who have been paying attention have been like, this man is a problem for a long, long time.
Boys, not to take the focus off Falwell, but we have breaking news on the program. It's been a while since we've broken news on this show, but it's a thing that we used to do in the past, and it concerns us eventually becoming rich and famous. And I thought we could do a couple of minutes on this because I think you boys will be interested. So here in my studio, I have the capability to get breaking news via email while we're recording. And That's
very 20th century of you.
I know, dude. I know. I've really got an amazing setup here. So
you got faxed in, baby. Is that what you're
something
saying?
Got faxed in? I got to rip it off the wire, baby. Are you ready?
Yeah.
I'm gonna cue up the jingle. Okay.
Yeah. Cue it.
Here we go. Here's the jingle. Dun 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 dun. Dun. Okay. Let me rip this off the wire. Boys, this is from our agent concerning our big new book project. The one that's going to make us rich and famous. It's very short and to the point. Gentlemen, a couple of questions from Name of Publisher Redacted. Can you provide current Happy Rant podcast download numbers? Can you provide a list of possible endorsers for a Happy Rant book? We're close, boys. We're close. Let's talk about endorsers.
So I have a question about endorsers before we start talking about this. Did you ever actually get Jared C. his blurb or not? Because I
No.
Okay, so Ronnie needs to send the request to him for an endorsement for this potential book. Yeah. Is that what we're getting at?
No, dude, I've still got a couple of weeks to get at Jared C. his blurb.
Okay, gotcha.
So yeah,
you're still within the timeline, eh?
I'm still within the timeline, man. I'm still grinding through that.
Yeah, man,
young
this
adult
is taking
fiction.
You a long time, man. It's
yeah, baby, a lot of plates spinning over here.
A lot of
you
plates.
Know, yeah, a lot of irons in the dude. A lot of blurbs. I'm knocking out for people right now. So
yeah, I get him. It's a full time job.
I get him confused, but now we got to start thinking about blurbers for our book, dude. Which is kind of huge. Let's
this means that we have to think of famous Christians with a sense of humor.
Crickets. literal crickets. Yeah, yeah. I don't know, boys.
So I think we got the first two that come to mind are Sammy Rhodes and Drew Dick, and I think we got our endorsers, boys. I think we're good. I think we nailed it.
I don't know who either of those people are, but they sound fabulous.
Yeah, I think they're those guys. Jared C., you know, if Ronnie can, you know, maybe offer him up another photo shoot in front of a mural or something.
I'll wrangle up. I'll send
dangle
him
a photo shoot. Baby.
I'll send him a Happy Rant check. You know, I'll
dangle another weekend in Ashland. All expenses paid.
I think I might have a Happy Rant sticker if he wants to put it on his like Yeti cup or something. I could send him one.
Is that Jared C. a Yeti cup guy, or is he more of like a ceramic coffee mug guy?
He's a non-coffee guy right now. That's what he
Get
is.
Out, dude. Yeah. Right now or historically?
Yeah, no, he's one of those I switched to decaf in my middle-aged years.
Wow, dude. Yeah. That hits hard.
It's gotten that bad.
That hits hard. Yeah, that's tough.
That's no way to survive a pandemic. I mean, I guess if you have health issues, it is a way to survive anything, but it sounds terrible. He's also a Starbucks from different cities collection mug guy. So, he has like a menagerie of mugs.
He's kind of militantly anti hipster coffee place. He goes straight for the first bucks when he rolls into town.
Dude, I love it. I love that kind of like chip on his shoulder.
Yeah. You love that sort of pedestrian Jared C. Like coffee preference.
Yeah, like I'm just a regular Joe. I'm just a normal pastor.
No pun, but I'm a regular Joe. Where's the Starbucks?
That's right. Get me to the Starbucks. Stat.
I don't care how many sermons you got to have me preach tonight. Just
they
get
have,
me
they
to
have
the Starbucks
best decaf.
There's a mug. There's a mug I need to purchase.
I need a mug and some decaf.
I have on good authority that there are quite a few somewhat prominent evangelical pastors who listen to this podcast. So this is really going to be a test of their mettle, whether or not
really
they
is.
Will put their name to a public admission of liking this podcast. Because I get it, you know, direct messages or text messages or whatever, and or like a comment in passing back when we could go to conferences, you know, people would be like, psst, I like your podcast. And but now we have to see who will outright admit to both liking the three of us and liking what we do as a podcast.
Dude, it's like Jesus with Peter on the shore, man. Do you love me? Blurb.
Yeah. You know? Do you love me? Blurb my book.
Right. I mean, for real.
Is that the Gen X version of that verse?
Yeah, for
dude,
real.
It is. Yeah. It is.
Do you love me? Blurb my book.
That's the saddest thing ever, dude. That's the saddest thing that's ever come out of our mouth. And that's saying something.
I do want...
Feels so dirty.
I do want
Do you know me in a peripheral way? Blurb my book.
Have you heard of me?
Have you never heard of me before? Great.
Could you leverage me in the future? Blurb my book.
Sorry, can I butter you up with a compliment vaguely about your general area of ministry? Blurb my book.
Exactly. Can I pretend to know you in a deeper way than I actually know you? Blurb my book.
I think what we're saying is, Sammy Rhodes, can you write us a funny forward, please? That's what we're saying.
Dude, who is Sammy Rhodes? And
I don't.
That funny?
I don't know. No, but I just made his name up.
Sammy Rhodes he does campus ministry in South Carolina, but he had he got a huge Twitter following several years ago just by being funny. Like, he was a funny Christian dude. He's written a couple books that are both good. One was I can't remember. It's about sort of handling awkwardness and shame. And yeah, he's a great dude.
You know what? His new book, and let me just say it because I feel like Sammy, you know, I don't want Sammy to think that we're not Sammy fans. But his new book is The Bomb, Broken and Beloved.
Really, that's what it was. I was trying to remember the newest one.
Really
I feel
good.
Bad that I forgot.
Yeah.
There you go. Ronald knows him in a peripheral way.
Oh, very peripheral. Yeah, peripheral.
The blurb is. I'm sure the blurb is coming our way as we speak. Yeah, so, no, boys.
In fact, he just sent it. I got it.
Okay. I have a reverse psychology idea for this. Why don't we send it to all the people we think will decline to endorse, and then publish those as endorsements?
Yes.
Yeah. Dude, publish the email. Publish the like. The kind of faux nice, like, oh, boys, I'm really slammed right
now. Yeah, I love that, guys.
You know,
I love that.
I'm really slammed. Like, ministry's crazy during the pandemic.
Like, we don't have to print their name. We'll just print all the people that just rejected it, but we'll just post their, like, generic denials.
I mean, I'm at home 23 hours a day. I've never had more downtime in my life. But things are really crazy right now, guys. Yeah.
Yeah, that's going to be funny. We're going to turn the world upside down with our new method of blurbing.
Yeah, dude. And knowing Christian publishers, they're going to be so on board with something new.
Oh, they're going to love
something
that.
Something fresh.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
They're going to love
absolutely.
It.
Something fun.
Nothing.
They're going to be
nothing
way
says
on board.
Read this book is a bunch of like nameless blurbs on the back of a book.
Yeah.
A bunch of nameless blurbs saying, don't read this book, or here's why I didn't have the time to read your book.
Or here's why I'm too afraid to blurb your book. It's going to mean bad things for my publishing career.
Exactly. For my non-existent publishing career.
Right.
I will get to myself sell 4,500 books next year. dude, these guys. What a riot. Boys, we got time for one more. I want to talk about Ron's Yoda life in the context of another guy's Yoda life who's killing it right now. This guy's doing Yoda. He's been doing secular Yoda at a high level. I'm trying to find it in the chat. Okay, here we go. Yeah, it's good radio. hang on. All right, this guy's name is Simon Sinek, business leader, thought leader. And he had a Yoda tweet that Piper shared with us in the group chat. And I want Ronald to, like, Yoda on Yoda, kind of assess the quality of this thing.
Not that we endorse Yoda on Yoda crime on this podcast, but I would like this to be a Yoda beatdown.
This is like Yoda sharpening Yoda. You know what I mean? Like, that's how I look at it.
It doesn't matter. Nobody take, boys, just so you know, you guys started this thing now with Yoda tweeting to where, I mean, you won't know this, Ted. Well, you will because you just stalk everything, but like you.
Oh, there it is, dude. Yeah, we got to.
Yeah. You'll know because it doesn't matter what you post now. Everybody just replies with like a Yoda GIF, you know what I mean?
No, okay, but, real talk, baby, and you're a branding expert now because you've been hanging around with Jared C. Wilson for a couple of years. Has Piper and I inventing the Yoda thing, do you think that's been a net positive or a net negative for your Yoda work? Like, has it hurt or helped your Yoda situation?
Well, I think you guys just found a way to take any of the seriousness out of anything that I ever tweet away. Because the only thing somebody reposts is, is a GIF of Yoda doing some facial expression. If Yoda has facial expression,
I take umbrage at this because I mean, leave it to Twitter leave it to Twitter to suck at nuance. But
Twitter's such a serious platform,
though,
and such a good place to get those serious.
It's full of thoughtfulness and level headedness, and really reading the meaning behind the meaning and things.
And a lot of critical race theory, but go on.
Yeah, that's part of the serious thoughtfulness as well. People's responses to that tend to be very measured and carefully articulated, and they've really done the research. the responses that you get, Ron, with the Yoda thing are like 80% wrong.
Talk about that, Pipe.
Well, Ronnie will be like, I like cupcakes, and somebody will be like, Yoda tweet. No, just because Ronnie says it doesn't make it a Yoda tweet.
See, that's what's happened now.
There's a particular style. There's a particular like coupling of thoughts. We're going to hear a great example of this from one Simon Sinek here in a moment that makes something a Yoda tweet. If Ronnie posts a Bible verse and then says like this ministered to my heart today, that's not a Yoda tweet. That's Ronnie talking about a Bible verse in a way
This is good nuance. This is why we need you on the program, because I think in a sense what you've said is that Twitter has kind of cheapened all of us in terms of this. Like, you and I thoughtfully came up with the term Yoda tweeting. That's been cheapened by Twitter.
Twitter's actually cheapened things, Big T?
I don't see it. This is what I'm struggling with, because it's such a great platform.
It's a life-giving platform. I'm so hesitant to say anything against it.
Oh, I know, dude. I'm just choosing my words very carefully.
Yeah,
right,
I appreciate
now.
That. I appreciate the nuance.
I like to be measured and thoughtful as it pertains to Twitter, not being a toilet. And that's where I'm at with it. Okay. Piper, let's dip into secular Twitter a little bit here. It's secular Yoda work. And I'm going to lay this Simon Sinek thing on you guys, and then I want Ronald to speak to its veracity as a Yoda tweet. Here we go. Simon Sinek, business guy. I'm trying to look at what his face looks like, but the picture's so small. I'll do that in my studio later.
He looks like a yuppie hipster who speaks in vulnerability voice. That's what he looks like.
Okay. So like every Nashville guy.
Say it in read the tweet, please, boys, in V voice.
No, I'm gonna read it standard, and then I'm gonna do a second read in V voice.
All right, fair enough.
Okay?
Do it.
Here we go. Here it is in standard. Bad leaders care about who's right. Good leaders care about what's right. Simon Sinek.
I thought his last name Sinek, but obviously not C-Y-N-I-C. That's all I can hear is just Sinek.
Okay, I'm going to lay it on you.
He's like the Gen X tweeter of all time. Hi, I'm Simon Sinek.
Yeah, no, I know. That would be a funny parody account. All right, here we go. Here it is in V-Voice. Bad leaders care about who's right. Good leaders care about what's right? Simon Sinek? I don't know. That wasn't my best view voice.
But I love how you even say your name with a question mark.
Well, that's it. Can we be sure of anyone's personhood anymore? You know? So Ronald, roll that around, chew on it. Where are you at with this as far as quality Yoda work?
Well, dude, I'm going to tell you right now, man. So here's what I struggle with, man, with these like leadership gurus is like, it's too basic. There needs to be a level of like thought, you know, thought provokingness. I don't know if that's a word. If it isn't, I just made it up, but like there needs to be like a bit of like, hold on, I got to read that again and dig into it, reflect on it to understand what...
Right, it's almost like it's not opaque enough.
It's not. There needs to be a level of minor complexity, and there isn't. Yeah. It's so basic, you know?
Mm. Oh, but see, I would take slight umbrage with what you just said in that one of the things that, like, the secular leadership guys do so well is say asinine and or obvious things as if they're deep, and so it adds a level of opacity because you're like, wait, is there more to this than what seems exceptionally obvious? And so you end up thinking about it, trying to figure out if it's as dumb as it looks.
Right. I'm with you. Yeah, I'm with you. But
whereas
you know,
when you Yoda tweet, Ronnie, like there's it usually requires like a moment of pause and reflect because you brought something up that needed to be considered, not you said something obvious that I have to consider whether or not it's obvious.
Well, I mean, that's debatable, right? But I think what you're to your point though, Pipe. So this is where it's funny. Like when you have, like how many followers does Sinek have? Like, is he in the hundreds of thousands? Is he that guy with the hundreds of thousands?
Oh, he's in millions. The hundreds of thousands, possibly millions.
Okay. So when you're that guy, when you get to sort of like that level, you have to sort of like bare bones it. I mean, you have to go, because you're looking for an audience to, you're looking for the audience that you have accumulated to not have to question what you're saying, but just to receive it as a very simple, almost sort of like, you know, self-help phrase that's just
almost like a reminder, like, hey, it's a reminder. Still out here.
It's kind of like when you're, it's kind of like when you work for a company and they have like those, you know, those posters all over the walls to like keep like workflow going. You know what I mean? It's all like those, it's kind of like what Simon Sinek just like posted, right?
So also, it's like, guess how he gets away with being a white guy who's middle-aged? British.
Oh, I knew it. Well, dude, there it is.
He is?
We're done now.
I'm like, how is he getting away with this?
Yeah. Are you sure he's British?
He's straight? Yeah.
I've heard him talk. He does not sound British.
Wait, hang on. Let me go to the source. Simon Oliver Sinek is a... Oh, okay. Never mind.
He sounds a lot like he's from Long Island or something.
He's a British-born American author and motivational speaker, but he was born in Britain.
He has the residue of respectability.
He has the residue of respectability. That's it. I feel like if you're born in England, you get like grandfathered in, and you're not, therefore not a horrible white man.
Another word on Simon Sinek. This tweet is indicative of how he has made his millions, because it says something that's both not really true and says it in a way that makes you think longer than you should, which is exactly like his books. He wrote a book called Start With Why, which is about 220 pages, which was originally a TED Talk. TED Talks are about 17 minutes.
Uh-huh.
And it's just the TED Talk like 14 times.
Mm.
He just says the same thing over and over and over again. And so there's a you keep thinking it's getting deeper. And after about chapter six, you go, I think this is just the same thing again. And again and again and again. He uses like two examples. Steve Jobs is his god, I think. So there's a recurring theme here of I will give him credit for this. He knows his brand and he sticks right to it. He's on the bullseye all the time in terms of just stay right in the middle of simplistic thought that sounds deeper than it is.
Yeah. I think you're right.
I like it.
I think you're right. Boys, I gotta go in a minute, but One last question, just a rapid fire one. Who would you rather hang out with? This guy, Malcolm Gladwell, or Gary Vaynerchuk?
What?
Talking about business gurus, business Yoda gurus.
Gary V, for sure. He got rich off of being a wine, distributor, connoisseur, etc. And he seems much more lively than the other two. If you hang out with Gladwell, you're going to end up having lengthy discussions about like tea from Bangladesh. And Simon Sinek is going to, I don't know, sort of smugly look at you like you're not quite as good of a leader as he is.
Yeah. Not quite as good.
Who is Gladwell again? Like, remind, because I know that, what has he written? Gladwell's written a bunch of stuff.
How do you call yourself a Gen X pastor? I'm ashamed of you.
Yeah, dude. Ronald. You gotta have some Gladwell on your bookshelf.
No, I'm an Enneagram 4, so I can't.
He wrote Blank. He wrote Tipping Point. He wrote Talking to Strangers. That was his most recent one. He's the guy who's kind of looks sort of wild, eccentric professor type, real soft voice. He does the Revisionist History podcast. None of this ringing a bell?
Yeah, I think so. I'm just kind of picturing, you know,
you refuse to acknowledge that.
I'm picturing
like,
walking into like a Barnes
exists.
And Noble and be like, oh yeah, there's a Gladwell guy with another book, you know?
Dude, refusing to acknowledge that another smart creative guy exists. That's the most Enneagram 4 thing.
I never said I was smart.
Ever, Piper.
I never said
and that's
I was
a,
smart.
That's a good note to end on, boys. I feel like this one was a little scattered, but it was still nice. Like, I'm leaving it feeling good about doing radio with you guys. And it had been a while, admittedly, since we've all three been in the studio again. So there's going to be some rust to knock off in that kind of scenario for sure. But, boys, enjoy your Redbud City Coffee Roasters, coffee for the rest of the day here as we part. And we've done what we always do in this program in that we've wandered to and fro throughout some topics, and we will see you. Wait. No, I always want to sign it off like my other
show. Dude, I like that. Let's just keep that. That's cool.
Yeah, no. Man. And until next time.
No, go back to the other one. I like the other one.
We will see you next time.
The Happy Rant is brought to you by Resonate Recordings. If you go to resonaterecordings.com, you can see the full range of services they offer. So if you're considering starting a podcast, they are the ones we recommend going with. Again, go to resonaterecordings.com to see their prices, to connect with them and ask any questions, and to see what they can do to help you launch, edit, master, and improve your podcast. Again, go to resonaterecordings.com to see what they can do to help you launch and improve your podcast.
Is life feeling chaotic? I get it. I'm Rachel Wojo, host of the Untangling Life podcast. Don't miss the passionate encouragement and faith-based resources you need to help you clear your head and calm your heart. As Shell says, it feels like Rachel always knows what I need to hear. She keeps it real and is so humble. Her podcast is just the cherry on top. Enjoy Untangling Life with Rachel Wojo on lifeaudio.com or your favorite podcast app now.